From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I remember not all that long ago, Bill Nye, the science guy, saying, "I'm a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks, among still other specks in the middle of specklessness. Therefore, I suck." Now, Bill Nye, the science guy, has become enormously popular. These kinds of statements have made science cool. And now we have astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. He was in Charlotte. And last night he was communicating something exactly the opposite, and it was still cool. In other words, it doesn't matter what your premise is. You can say, "I suck because I'm just a speck orbiting a speck," or you can say, as Tyson argued, that we are not insignificant. And the reason we are not insignificant is that our bodies are literally made of stardust, that we are one with the universe, that we share the same DNA as the bacteria that infest our intestines, the same bacteria that may cause infectious diseases. So he's now turning the tables on Bill Nye and saying, "No, I don't suck. I'm significant because I have the same DNA that a bacteria has. And therefore, I'm very, very special." Now, what's interesting is you could have Bill Nye with his perspective and the crowd's roar, or Tyson with his perspective, and maybe they roar even louder. I still remember when evolutionists like Richard Dawkins argued that a boy had no more intrinsic worth than a banana because we all descended from a common ancestor and share the same DNA. So he had more of the Bill Nye vibe. In other words, we're not special at all. We're utterly insignificant. But again, Tyson has turned the tables. But either way, it's all sheer nonsense. The reason we are special is not the composition of our DNA. We are special because we are created in the image of God. And it is that fact that assures that a Down syndrome baby is afforded the same dignity given a distinguished scientist. In any case, Tyson has long ago made the departure from knowledge into the dangerous world of anti-knowledge, and people applaud. He has departed the world of science and waded into an illusory world of science fiction, all under the guise of making science cool. Well, why do I bring that up? Well, I bring that up because it's high time that we learn discernment skills, which is precisely what this ministry is all about. Teaching you to discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light, so that when you hear these kinds of statements and the roar of the crowd dies down, you don't just go on as though you've gotten information. You process, you think, you discern. And then you become always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. There's another article in USA Today, and this article I was very, very pleased to read. The title of the article was Womb with a View: Fetuses React to Faces While Inside Mom. This is an example of how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. The findings come from the journal Current Biology, and they demonstrate that it is possible to explore sight along with cognition in babies before birth. Says Christy Dunn of Lancaster University, it turns out that the preborn respond to faces while in the womb in a similar fashion to infants. Think about this. So you can take the picture of a mom, and the baby's going to react to it differently if it's right side up or upside down. In other words, they're responding to the image with cognition. Also, they discovered that the baby's eyes are not tightly closed. There are times when the baby's eyes are open and blinking. So there's a lot we're finding out about human embryology. And the more we find out, the more horrendous the crime, the sin of aborting those made in the image and likeness of God. We must ever remember that embryos are not potential persons. They are actual persons with potential. As written in a fantastic article in the Christian Research Journal, it's titled The Human Embryo, Potential Person or Person with Great Potentials, written by Clinton Wilcox. This article, I mean, it's an article that took me a couple of times to completely process. It's not for the faint of heart, but it's worth mastering. The reason it is because as human embryology becomes more and more plain and average and, as it were, in the out of the ivory tower into everyday vernacular, we are learning that human beings made in the image of God in the womb are sacred. They're special, just like infants are, just like old people are. Must ever remember that embryos are not potential persons. Again, as the article points out, they're actual persons with potential. I'm the same person I was when I was an embryo, and as such, it is as wrong to kill me now as it would have been to kill me then. Again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not subscribing, please do so. I wrote the cover story, The Sunni-Shia Split. This is a story with huge intrigue. And when you read it, it's all about the homicide of Muhammad. Who did it? You got to read the story. It's a cover story. But this journal is, well, it's chock full of great information. Not the kind of stuff you'll hear from Neil deGrasse Tyson. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Ashley, Everett, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for my call.
You're welcome.
So I have recently, the last actually couple months, I have really been diving into the Word and the Old Testament and what happened back in those times, and the darkness that's going on in today's times. And I mean, exactly what you were just talking about, Bill Nye the Science Guy, all of our TV shows, our movies, our politicians, everywhere I look, I just see the enemy at play and the agenda they're trying to push and taking Jesus and God out of everything. And as I'm trying to open the eyes of those around me, I don't know how to communicate it in a loving yet a way that's, you know, telling them the time is now, the time is here. We are, I feel like we are at the end of times. And I just don't know how to do that in a non-disrespectful way. I don't want to hurt them. I just see it all around me, and I'm around so many unbelievers, and they just don't know the love of Jesus and why Jesus really had to come to this earth and become man. It's because of the spiritual battle. And I'm just seeing it more and more every single day on so many levels in our reality.
Well, I'm glad you're aware of it. Yeah, I'm glad you're aware of it. And but as I said many times on the broadcast, the real problem is not pagans exercising their job description. What else would they do? It is Christians who need to be salt and light within this culture. In fact, it's interesting that you ask, how do I get this across? This is the very reason that all this month I have been offering people two resources that really help you engage the culture without losing the gospel. In fact, that's the subtitle of Russell Moore's book that is titled Onward. And I think the book is well worth reading on so many different levels. I was rereading it again today, and he makes so many profound points in terms of engaging the culture. So how do you do it? Well, this book is a prep sheet on doing exactly that. And then the Benedict Option. It's in the same genre, as it were. It's a strategy for Christians living in a post-Christian nation. Now, think about that subtitle. In light of your question, this is a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation. So it's a blueprint for how then shall we live. But we also ought to remember something. And I think you wisely alerted the audience to this in the prologue to your question. There have been dark times throughout all of human history. Think about when Ahab and Jezebel were king and queen in Israel. Think about Solomon's son Absalom. Think about the Black Death. Think about slavery. I mean, you think things are bad now. I mean, Russell Moore, he makes no bones about this. In fact, I underlined this probably about an hour ago as I was rereading this. I want to read it to you. He says, my denomination, he's now talking about the Southern Baptists, was founded back in the 19th century by those who advocated for human slavery and who sought to keep their consciences and their ballots and their wallets away from a transcendent word that would speak against the sinful injustice of a regime of kidnapping, rape, and human beings wickedly deigning to buy and sell other human beings created in the image of God. Slavery, they argued, to their shame, was a political issue that ought not distract the church from its mission, evangelism and discipleship. And then he goes on to say something about the church today. He says, the same is true of a church in 21st century America that doesn't speak to the pressing issues of justice and righteousness around us, such as the horror of abortion and the persisting sins of racial injustice. In other words, what he is underscoring for us in clear prose is that the problem oftentimes is not just the illiberal liberalism or radical Islam, as it is sometimes phrased. Those are pressing problems, but perhaps we ought to look at the fault line that runs directly through the human heart and then look at the church itself. Is the church being the church? Is the church even empowered to be the church? You'll hear me oftentimes say on the Bible Answer Men broadcast, not by might nor by power, but by your spirit. What do I mean by that? There's biological power. There's intellectual knowledge. All of that is helpful. However, there is a power that can animate the church that is far from merely biological power. It is uncreated energy. And of course, when I say that, it sounds strange, but the reality is uncreated energy is a way of speaking about God, for only God is uncreated. And we can partake of His graces so that we can transform the world. Now, we can't do everything, but we can do something. So look at the mass problem. It's overwhelming. But God puts someone in your path, and you're equipped, and you can reach that person not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And all of a sudden, you see that the problem is quite doable. One person at a time. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books: Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we're going to go right to our callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Patrick. He's listening in Utahville, South Carolina, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Hank. I got a couple questions within a question, I guess. Romans 8:39 says nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then when I read in Hebrews, towards the end of chapter 5 and 6, in my Bible it says warning against apostasy, and I'm taking that as you can maybe lose your salvation if once you're born again, you denounce Christ and the Word of God. And what do you think about that?
Well, not so much losing your salvation as walking away from your salvation, or worse yet, having a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. You can imagine Paul writing in Hebrews is writing to Jews. And these are Jews who tasted God's goodness. They knew about God. In fact, many of them would agree and did agree when Jesus did the miracles that he is, in fact, Lord of the universe. The universe itself is subject to him. But instead of trusting and depending on him alone, and that's what true faith entails, it's not only knowledge and agreement, but also trust, they walked back into their human traditions as opposed to following Jesus Christ as an active participant in the faith. So if you are an active participant in the faith, then you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. But quite frankly, if you try to go the journey alone,
yes,
you have no hope. Because the journey is always a journey in community and communion. I mean, when you take up your cross and you daily follow Jesus Christ, you don't do it in isolation. Always do it in community.
Yes. And before being born again, I mean, it was immediately my life changed. And it's day and night. I understand that. But I never realized, like, that he's talking to the Hebrews, he's talking to the Jews, and they just completely went back to their old ways, like the man, the dog to the vomit or whatever.
Well, some did, and some did not.
How do you explain Judas? Like, he was an apostle, but Christ told him, like, the one who gives me up tonight should have never been born. You should have never been born. What? How do you explain that?
Well, here you have a person that has every single advantage. I mean, he's in Christ's inner circle. He is able to perform perhaps miracles. He's able to really be in charge of the financial situation that the apostles had. however that might be described as merely a money bag or whatever those needs were from a financial standpoint. So he's an inner circle person. And it is a great example of how we don't see the real person. Because I guarantee you, were you alive when Judas walked this earth, you would have said, I want to be like Judas. Because from every outward appearance, Judas was the absolute real deal. How do you get any more of a real deal than being in the inner circle with the very one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence? It doesn't get any better than that. So we would have looked at him and we would have said, wow, there's my example. Christ looked at him and saw a devil. In other words, he saw that Judas was not with him because he loved him. Judas was with him because he loved what was on the master's table. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us. Why do we follow Christ? Is it for perks or benefits or feelings or a good sermon? Or is it because we really, truly, genuinely, deeply love the Master and want to be a participant in his kingdom? Now, if you are in that latter category, you are an active participant within the pillar and ground of truth, the church, as a follower of Jesus Christ, well, your faith is not going to wane. It's going to grow. Yeah. It's just like if I was in a gymnasium three times a week, I promise you I'm not, but if I was, I'd be doing reps and you would see the results of that. I certainly would see the results of that. So we need to be in the spiritual gymnasium. We need to be active in our participation. And when we do that, there are results. And those results are an ever-deepening love for the one who knit us together in our mother's womb.
You know, it's a walking, I've never experienced anything like the teachings that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives me, you know, with Christ. It's been a journey. And I think what happened was I really never understood the fear of God. But when I read the apostasy part of Hebrews, and maybe even the chance of losing your salvation, that put the fear in me of, don't even play around with this stuff. Don't even play around with sin. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it's all about ordering your life around the divine. Thanks for your call, Patrick. Christina Hanegraaff, my daughter, who used to teach in Hong Kong, but when she found out I had cancer, she came back and she's been sitting in the studio with me. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
On whether you can lose your salvation?
No, just on the conversation we just had.
I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. And I think that we must remind ourselves not to be like Judas in our age. You know, we have a lot of the benefits of the internet, of things that we can just reach so many people. And yet, as we see in the culture today, we're losing. And in this kind of advantage that we have, why are we losing? And it's because, like you say, Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We are just, you know, trying to be friends with the culture. But the reality is Jesus was very kind, but he was also very serious. You know, Jesus said that people are going to hate you. They're not going to like what you're going to say. The goal of the gospel is not inclusivity. The goal of a gospel is a relationship with Christ. And so I think we have to remind ourselves through our everyday conversations, through the mediums that we choose and what we do with our lives, that we are just as much like Judas. And so don't be fooled and think that we couldn't fall into the same situation just because we're not in the inner circle. I mean, we are. I mean, Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, and we can carry out so many things with his prompting.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that the gospel is an offense, but we don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate the gospel.
Amen.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Mike in Bellis, Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Brother Hank. How's you going?
I'm doing well, thank you.
awesome. Good, right on. I was trying to get in here a little while ago, but I'm just a little confused on that point here. I'll leave all the little details out, but here last fall, I was talking with you concerning the Eucharist, but you said to me that you was an evangelical Protestant, if not evangelical, at least a Protestant. And here, a few months ago, you converted to Orthodox, and you told somebody that you've been an Orthodox for 2.5 years already. And I'm a little confused, a little like, you know, how... but you told me that you was a Protestant still, like, last fall.
You know, I really appreciate you calling and asking for clarification. Actually, the clarification is that I converted to Orthodoxy April 9. It was Palm Sunday this year. But I had been attending an Orthodox church with my family for a little over 2 years prior to that. So I appreciate you calling and give me this opportunity to make that clarification. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on the web. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I had a question about honoring the Sabbath because it's very difficult for me to make Saturday my Sabbath. And just, you know, with work and everything, I have Sunday as my day. And I don't, what are your feelings about that? How does God feel about us honoring Sunday and attending church and honoring Sunday as a holy day rather than the actual Sabbath Saturday?
Yeah, we actually ought to worship on the first day of the week, and why we do that is inextricably woven together with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and we're celebrating the Sabbath rest we have in Jesus Christ. And so this is emblematic of the fact that we're no longer tied to types and shadows. The types and shadows have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And once the fulfillment comes, it is an abomination to go back to the types and shadows. Certainly, if you don't recognize the fulfillment. So there are people that worship on Saturday instead of Sunday that do recognize the fulfillment, but we must recognize the fulfillment. It is in Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. And the most dangerous snare for the early Christian church was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the very substance that fulfilled all the types and shadows that went before him. This is the very reason that the book of Hebrews makes very plain that to go back to temple priest and sacrifice when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come is tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Wow, those are strong words, strong admonition. So we must recognize that we're not indebted any longer, or at least attached to luminous limestone and glistening gold, but rather we're attached to the crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, and we can never go back to temple when the ultimate sacrifice has come. And we are now part of that body. We're inextricably linked with Christ. He is the head. We are his body. Coming to station break, we'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as the quote of the day. This is one of the most phenomenal quotes, takes a lot of thinking, one of the most phenomenal quotes you'll ever hear.
In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you the Benedict Option. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a little prologue to the quote of the day, which is that we sometimes think that the rescue that Jesus Christ provided from sin and death is a glorious truth. And that is indeed so. It is a glorious truth. However, the salvation that Jesus Christ provided through His sacrifice has an incomparably greater aspect to it. Because we are not merely saved from sin. We are saved for sonship. And no one spoke of this more poignantly and precisely than the great Orthodox theologian Vladimir Lossky. The quote of the day comes from this very keen pen in mind. Said Lossky, quote, "After the fall, human history is a long shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. It is the possibility for the shipwreck to resume his journey, whose sole goal is union with God." Again, Vladimir Lossky. This is all about our growth from image into likeness, which does not merely bring us back to where Adam and Eve were before the fall, but it brings us back to access to the tree of life provided for us by the Prince of Life, who stretches one arm out and touches the Edenic garden and the other the eternal garden. A great quote. I love it. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Pam. She's in Conrad, Texas, also on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Pam.
Hello.
Hi.
I was thinking about your conversation about Judas a few minutes ago, and my question was he destined to sin to fulfill God's plan?
Well, I cannot say what would happen in every single possible converging circumstance. I mean, God could. And there is a theory out there that is called middle knowledge. I won't get into that because from my standpoint, I love living in the land of antinomy, which simply means that there's a tension in Scripture. On the one hand, I choose my path, but God directs my steps. On the one hand, God is sovereign. On the other hand, what I do really matters. So we can't say what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not fallen into lives of perpetual sin terminated by death. We cannot say what would have happened if Judas had not succumbed to the temptations of the devil. What we can say is what is. We can say beyond the peradventure of a doubt that God created Adam and Eve with the ability to choose to love him or do otherwise. And because God gave Adam and Eve volition, love was possible, and Adam and Eve could choose. Love is never possible without volition. It becomes meaningless. And Adam and Eve chose to sin. They chose disobedience. They chose to become God on their own terms. As a result of that, they were barred from the tree of life. And then you have the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, the unfolding plan of redemption culminating in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. The details given to us in Scripture, just as they are. Judas could have been a true faithful follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, he had everything in his favor. No one had more in their favor. But again, we see that sin is irrational. So what happened is Judas betrayed Jesus Christ, something that we fast every single Wednesday to remember, is the betrayal of Jesus Christ by Judas, and every Friday, the outcome of that, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So we fast as we remember the betrayal on Wednesday and the crucifixion on Friday. So this doesn't become old hat to us, but this is constantly new and fresh in our memory, so that we do not go and do likewise.
I just thought of something that I taught my students, and it's Esther 4:14. We talked to them about not losing your influence, and we listened to a podcast, and he talks about Esther, and Esther 4:14, where it says, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish, and who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." So it's that aspect where, yeah, Esther was in this position and her decision could matter. And it did because of what she did. Judas was in that position and what he did could have been great. He could have been included in the storybooks, but he chose not to. And God could have used someone else. So I think that's an interesting perspective to shed light on the situation.
I think it's brilliant, a brilliant comment on this particular subject. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. In fact, I just happen to be listening to it right now. And as you point out, Esther is raised up by God to sovereignly save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. But her will played a crucial role in the whole scenario, and the text actually underscores that. What I think is very, very cool about this passage in toto is the fact that when the nations looked on and saw what happened as a result of Esther's faithfulness, the text actually says that on that day, many different people from many different nations became Jews. And I always find that interesting, because how do you become a Jew if you're from another nation? Well, you can't change your birth mother. You can't change your green card. You become a Jew because you are now one of those that is brought into the whole panoply of people who are now following God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, that ultimately will be revealed in Jesus Christ. So, what's the lesson there? The lesson is that to be a Jew in that context means to be true Israel. And true Israel is not a function of nationality. It is always a function of spirituality. It's not a function of the circumcision of the flesh. It is a function of the circumcision of the heart, because God does not play favorites. You know, I want to go to a Facebook question, lest I forget to go to a Facebook question. We are very, very involved in social media these days. And so Facebook is very important to me. If you've never seen the Bobby Lynch Man Facebook page, I've done a lot of vlogs and Facebook Lives. You can find them all archived on the Bobby Lynch Man Facebook page. Check it out. But here's a question from Facebook, social media. I've read about soft tissue being discovered in dinosaur fossils. Is this a conundrum for old Earth proponents? Now, that's a good question. I actually addressed that question in a book that I wrote called The Creation Answer Book. And what I point out in the entry there is that scientists who conducted the research actually never claimed to have found either fresh blood cells or hemoglobin. In fact, the scientific journals instead report the discovery of collagen, which, of course, is a protein found in bone. I'm kind of familiar with all these things now, having mantle cell lymphoma. And the presence of this collagen would not in and of itself prove that humans walked with dinosaurs in the last several thousand years. I think there's something else that needs to be addressed here, and that is headlines such as, and these headlines, I mean, you find them on the internet, sensationalism, sophistry, selling, it's disgraceful, but headlines such as blood chemicals found in dino bone. This kind of headlines are grounded in sensationalistic news flashes, not in scientific literature. And the tragedy is, these kinds of news flashes are not just relegated to secularists. You find them in Christian literature as well. Shame on us. In fact, that fact of science is cited as one of the six evidences that the universe is young, and yet it is, again, sloppy journalism, sensationalism, it's sophistry, it's out of bounds. Statements that no intact dinosaur blood cells have been discovered have prompted the unfounded allegation, and this is where it really gets into conspiracy theories, that scientists are presently engaged in a massive cover-up or a conspiracy. But that's no more factual than the contention that we now have physical evidence that dinosaur bones are not millions of years old. The bottom line for me is simply this: there's no need or room for make-believe stories in the creation-evolution debate. And by the way, an Earth measured in billions of years is no threat to a biblical worldview of creation, no matter how many years the evolutionist postulates. Chance operating on natural processes could no more produce a DNA molecule than it could a dinosaur bone. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here Monday with more. Do remember, this is our Make It or Break It month. We're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Please be generous, because what you do through your prayers and finances touches people the world over. Thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support. To make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books: Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or the Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.